This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. We do this every Monday at 10:30. And if you want any information additionally about anything we talk about, go to klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Joining us here in studio this week, Steve and Kyle. Kyle and Steve, happy post-Thanksgiving 2016.
Good morning, Mike, yourself. Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
Yes, yes, I did. Did you both as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very nice to get together with everybody.
Exactly. Yes. Full house of family. It was very enjoyable.
And now we have the Christmas season upon us right around the corner. And I know a lot of people maybe started their Christmas shopping already, but they are maybe trying to get their ducks in a row for 2017. And we're going to get into some questions and answers about things like diversification here shortly. But one thing we will announce right now is that there will be a cost quiz question of the week later on before the end of the program today. And whoever calls in to Klaus Financial with the correct answer wins $25 gift card to StubHub. That's right, a $25 gift card for StubHub. All right, so what is diversification, first of all, for listeners that don't know, and how important would you say it is as far as investments go?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. That's actually one of the areas we discuss frequently with new clients as well as existing clients, because sometimes each person's definition of diversification is a little bit different. We define diversification of your invested dollars, of how they're allocated between stocks, bonds, cash, other types of investments. It's not a situation, in our opinion, of having multiple financial advisors, because then many times you can have conflicting or competing type of strategies where one is trying to outdo the other, and it actually ends up hurting the individual client more than helping them, because it's not a coordinated effort. So diversification is, again, how much do you have in stocks? How much do you have in bonds? How much do you have in cash, alternative investments? How much risk on your investments, whether you're accumulating for retirement or within that important window you hear us talking about, 5 years before or the first 5 years in retirement, or maybe you've been retired for 10 or 15 years, because as we have recently gone through presidential election, many people were concerned about what the markets were going to do or not going to do before the election, and now after the election and into, as you said, 2017 and beyond. When we're talking about investment objectives and investment risk tolerance, we're always helping clients to understand and talk out to find out what their goals and objectives are in a long term. When we're talking long term, we're not talking about just the next 12 months. We're talking about 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 years of retirement. Not that your investment goals and objectives and risk levels won't change as your life continues forward, because it probably will, but then it's more of a minor adjustment or tweak versus throwing everything out with the bathwater and starting all over again.
And I know a lot of people do IRAs. They have IRAs, and they have to figure out whether they're going to roll them over or not roll them over once they retire. Are there some pros and cons of rolling over IRAs once you retire?
Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, in the past and currently into the future, some of the advantages of rolling over your 401k or 403b dollars or your pre-tax money into an IRA when you retire is that you may be able to have a lot more investment flexibility and more control over the investment risk levels that you're working with to create that investment strategy to pull out income in retirement. A con of that, though, is that while you're working, your employer plan, for the most part, probably is being paid for by your employer, so you have little or no expense whatsoever. When you roll the dollars out into your own IRAs, then there's going to be typically more fees and expenses involved, in the investment aspect of things. Now, if it's a situation where somebody is just simply rolling over their 401k to an IRA and not really obtaining, you know, professional financial help with the overall retirement planning process and in creating income and creating that investment strategy, then it's probably a waste of money. But if they are receiving ongoing financial help and guidance through not only creating that retirement plan, but helping to implement the plan and monitoring it on at least an annual, if not semi-annual basis, then it very well could be worth the dollars. So it is something that each individual needs to be aware of, determine what is best for themselves. You know, one of the things you always hear us also talking about is when you roll over, for example, if you decide to do so, a 403b or 401k type of plan to your own IRA, that's not a taxable transaction. If you roll it over directly from your employer plan to your individual retirement account. So that still defers taxes.
That's not taxable, you're saying.
No, it's not taxable at that point. However, when you do start pulling money out of your IRA in the future for income, for instance, or, you know, many times people will pull out a lump sum of money to make a purchase. When you take money out of the IRA account and use it, spend it, then it is taxable. So it's a taxable event when you're taking money out of your IRA to spend it and use it. It's not a taxable event when you're rolling it over.
Is that considered like income then? Like, let's say I pull out $5,000. Let's say I'm 72 years old and I'm retired, and I pull out $5,000 one year to, I don't know, buy a small boat with that money from my IRA. Is that $5,000 considered income that is taxable?
It actually is, Mike, yes. And that's the thing. So you're adding that to your income in that year that you pulled that out. So more times than not, you're going to want to make sure that you're withholding taxes from that withdrawal, because it is a taxable event and the IRS wants their tax money.
Okay, yeah. They always do. So basically, yeah, when you take something out, the rule of thumb is when you eventually take money out of the IRA to spend, it is taxable.
Yes.
Okay. Can you both explain, by the way, or either of you, explain the difference between an IRA and a Roth IRA? What's the big difference between those two?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. It's a great question, and it's one that we get all the time. So the main difference between a traditional 401k or 403b or traditional IRA and the Roth versions of an IRA and 401ks and 403bs is, when is this money taxed? So traditional IRAs and 401ks, as we were just talking about, are pre-tax dollars. So they're tax-deferred growth, not tax-free. So basically anything you put into your 401k today, you get an income tax deduction on, versus if you contribute to a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, you pay the income tax on it this year, but it's growing tax-free, and it gets to come out tax-free in the future. So we're talking pre-tax dollars in a traditional IRA or 401k is how it's funded, and a Roth IRA 401k are post-tax dollars. So their Roths have become very, they're becoming more common in the 401k space. This has just been over the last few years where there's actually been Roth 401k options. And it makes sense for some people to take advantage of this, because especially younger advisor or younger workers, if you think about it, typically when you're younger, you are in a lower income tax bracket than you will be in your future earning years, because your income's not as high. And furthermore, what are you getting by putting this in a Roth versus a traditional? Well, you're getting tax-free growth, and it's going to come out tax-free in the future. So you have all these years of accumulation in there and growth that's going to come out tax-free someday, versus in a traditional IRA or 401k, you will be income taxed on that in the future date. So for young people, the Roths make a whole lot of sense. And even for, you know, people that are middle career in your 30s and 40s and sometimes early 50s, it can make sense. The one thing that we got to be careful of with the Roths is if you were to just look at a traditional IRA versus a Roth IRA on a strictly return basis, the traditional IRA is going to probably have a little higher return over the long run, because not only are your contributions growing, but also the taxes that you would have been paid, that you would have paid if it was in a Roth, you're getting growth on those earnings as well that would have been tax dollars. So if you look at it total dollar wise over the long run, the traditional IRA could possibly outperform it. But again, it's the taxes that we're focused on, and tax-free growth, tax-free withdrawals are huge, and especially when you go to beneficiaries and things like that. So they're very powerful tools, and we like a lot of people to take advantage of these if possible. Now, sometimes, again, people that are in higher income tax brackets, even if they are younger, it may not make sense to do the Roth contributions because they need that income tax deduction today versus, the tax-free withdrawals in the future. So it's all income tax based, and then also just how many years do we have of growth that we're looking at here.
Yeah, I was going to ask what some of the drawbacks were to Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks. Is it generally speaking a rule of thumb, if you make more money, it makes less sense to do Roths or no?
It can be. It's all a very personal, decision as far as what tax bracket you're in. What are the tax brackets in the future looking like? Taxes don't usually go down. The tax brackets tend to increase. But if someone, is going to be in a high income tax bracket even after they retire because they've accumulated a nice estate, then we may not need the Roth IRA or may not be able to take advantage of it quite the way that we'd like to. So,
okay. All right. We're going to take a break. And on the other side of it, we're going to talk about saving for your children's college. And is it a good idea to do that? And also, how can you do that? Well, I'm sure it is a good idea, but how do you also plan for retirement if you're also saving for college? Call us if you have any questions at all about anything we're bringing up. 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK, or email me, radio@coolidge.com, radio@KOOLIDGE.com. This is Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. These segments are sponsored by Kloss Financial. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That one place is right here. This is Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. We have Kyle and Steve with us in studio. And I don't think either the Vikings or the Bears won yesterday, did they?
No, no, they did not.
Well,
they did not.
The Vikings played on Thanksgiving, right?
Yep, they lost in a last-second field goal. So,
yeah,
and the division
Bears,
lead with
my
it.
My gosh, that was a heartbreaker yesterday, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes, I tell you, bad news, man. Bears this year for sure.
Absolutely, but hey, they're looking good for their draft picks next year.
Got to pull something out of that one.
Yeah. All right. So saving for college. Can you guys give us some ideas if we want to save for our children's college, and how do we do that while at the same time trying to plan for our own retirements?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike, and this is one of the things that we go through with almost all of our clients and prospects, as well as, what are our plans for our sending our kids through school and what are some options available and things like that. And this is one that you have to be very careful with, because if you want to pay for your children's education yourself, it can be a very expensive proposition. So it's definitely something that we want to take stock of and just know what we're getting into here. There are a few different types of accounts that you can use for both college education and also private schools as well. So there's the two main accounts when you're looking at education are 529 plans and Coverdell Educational Savings Account, or ESAs for short. So the Coverdells aren't quite as popular as they used to be, but they still do hold a place for some people. The reason that Coverdells aren't used all that often anymore is because their contribution limit is only $2,000 a year is all you can put into this, and that doesn't go very far when we're talking about college education. But they are still a powerful tool, and one of the pros for Coverdells and why we still recommend them for some people is that any funds in a Coverdell account can be used for even like a private high school or something like that. So they still do have a place, and they can still be utilized for various different things. But again, because the contribution limit is so low when we're looking at strictly college planning, most people are going to use the 529 plan. And those are tax-free growth. And then if they're pulled out, any funds in the account that are pulled out for higher education is tax-free as well. So that's a very powerful tool if you know you have grandparents or parents putting money into these types of accounts for their children's education. And you know, if they start it right when the child's born and it grows for 18 years and you've been contributing all the way, we can get a pretty nice sum of money in there that can be used for college without having to worry about taxes on any of it. So they are very powerful. But again, we want to make sure that if we are going to really help the kids in a substantial way for college, we want to make sure that it's not going to jeopardize our own retirement in most situations. Now, some people will say, my number one goal is that I pay for my kids' college education, and that's fine. We just have to know, you know, what our goals are and how we're going to accomplish it and what type of impact that can have on our own personal situation as well.
Yeah, and I know that that's something that people, you know, as again, just like Thanksgiving, when you hopefully a lot of us are able to see our children and grandchildren maybe in person, and the idea of saving money for them becomes real because they're right there at the Thanksgiving table. And, you know, Christmas is right around the corner, of course, and this might be a Christmas gift to think about, saving a little bit of money for your kids or grandkids' higher education. If you start planning for it now, it can grow all this time tax-free, which is awesome, depending on what sort of, you know, plans you put it in. Now, as far as managing debt goes, I know that's a question a lot of people have. They have debt. Should they pay that off first, or should they put money into retirement accounts and also chip away at their debt? Are there any, like, rules to managing debt and keeping interest rates low on that debt and my credit good if I have debt, you know, not talking about mortgage debt necessarily, but other sort of debt, and walking this tightrope of managing debt versus saving for retirement?
Yeah, you know, Mike, and that is really a balancing act and tightrope act for many people. And it's a good point of reference, excuse me, especially as we are going into the Christmas holidays. With the ease of spending and buying gifts online today and all the credit cards and debit cards that are being used, it's unfortunately too easy for many to slip into a lot more debt than they realized. When you look at credit card debt and store credit card debts, I mean, typically those interest rates are extremely high in relation to other types of debt that may be more manageable and actually be a good debt, so to speak, like a mortgage on your home. And possibly with the continued low interest rates or zero interest rates on vehicles, that can still be a good managed area. But when you're talking about credit card debt and high interest loans that you have, you definitely want to work away at whacking those out and eliminating those as soon as you can. It is a managing balancing act because sometimes people can end up slipping into such high amount of debt dollar-wise that they are then trying to determine, should I be paying that off, or, as you said, putting money away for retirement, or, you know, you kind of get in a catch-22 scenario there. And when you're looking at multiple credit cards, that's another thing if you have debt on more than one. So it's a process of saying, try and work at the typically the higher interest rate card initially, or the one that has the smaller amount of debt on it, and that way you can actually eliminate one of the bills, and then you've got a win, and it kind of helps you push forward into continuing to whack at them.
I've heard that methodology. Sometimes it's good to get rid of the, even if it's a lower interest rate, something that has a low balance on it first, because in your mind, psychologically, if you have like four credit cards, let's say, or four points of debt, you get rid of the smallest one first. Now you've only got three, and you feel like you're actually getting somewhere.
Exactly.
But mathematically, it does make sense to pay high interest debt first, right?
Yes, it does. Mathematically correct. And again, sometimes it's a combination of fighting the mathematics behind interest rates and or, like we said, the psychological aspect of, you know, having instead of three credit card bills, I now have two.
Right.
So it is something to be personalized, and that's where, again, we always suggest working with your professional financial advisor to help guide you through that process, because it can be a challenge and frustrating if you don't feel like you're moving forward and actually eliminating some of that debt as 2017 goes on.
Yeah, right around the corner. Now, as far as looking at my 401k statement, which you know, we should be getting here soon, how often should I review that statement? I mean, you can, you know, look them up online at any time, I guess. So people get their statements at various times throughout the year. But how often, what's a good rule of thumb for reviewing the 401k statement and then talking with my financial advisor?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. And again, it's something that we talk about with our clients all the time. And it's another one of those things that it just completely depends on the person a lot. A lot of people, you know, are fine just checking it, you know, once a year, once every 6 months. It kind of depends. Some people like to look at it daily and see where it's at. But that can really get you, you know, in a tizzy if, you know, we have these couple hundred point swings in the Dow are a pretty normal thing over the last few years. So if you that really stresses you out, you probably shouldn't be looking at it twice a day or even once a day. So we like to meet with our clients, you know, at least twice a year, probably for most people, if they're in retirement, things like that. Some people that are within, you know, a year or 6 months from retirement, we may meet with them 3 and 4 times just to make sure we've got everything, you know, buttoned down as best as we can and we know exactly where we're headed. So it completely depends on your stage in retirement and then also just your personality type of how much you want to see that and how on top of it you're trying to be. But again, you know, usually if we say, you know, once every 6 months, once you're in retirement, that probably works out. Somebody that's 15 years from retirement, it may be once a year that you meet with a professional to kind of see where you're at, take stock on everything, and make sure we're not having any issues or running into any problems and things like that.
At this time, we are going to ask the cost quiz question of the week. We answered this question earlier in the show. If you know the answer to it, and call a different number now. This is 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. If you call the number and are the first person with the correct answer to this question, you can win a $25 gift card for StubHub. And the question is, will the money that I take out of my traditional IRA someday come out as taxable or non-taxable income? Yeah, the 50-50 chance at this. Taxable or non-taxable? Will the money I take out of my traditional IRA someday come out as taxable or non-taxable? You can win a $25 gift card for StubHub if you call 815-877-8440. That's 877-8440. And also, call that number if you want to set up an appointment with Klaus Financial. The consultation is free. You can sit down with a financial advisor and they can look over your situation. And you can decide right there, yeah, I'd like you guys to give me further advice, or nope, okay, this was good advice, but I'll move on. No obligation whatsoever. Call 815-877-8440. That's Klaus Financial to set up your appointment with them. KLAASfinancial.com is the website, KLAASfinancial.com. Gentlemen, is there anything else you would like to add before we say goodbye this week?
No, other than just enjoy your week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yes.
All right. Have a good one, Mike.
You both as well. And I will invite you both, not putting you on the spot, but just throwing it out there, to our annual Christmas party to the public, which is this Friday at the Michael Coolidge Show Studios, 401 North 6th Street, downtown Rochelle. There will be a lot of listeners there in person, a lot of food and beverages and Christmas spirit. And I hope to see you guys there. Until next time, we'll see you at Coolidge.com. That's spelled with a K. No matter what you do, keep that radio on.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.